Amen. Aren't you glad you say, amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Nothing's changed. He's still Lord. He's still in control. This is the day the Lord's made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. Somebody said you ought to live every day like it's going to be your last. Well, let's live it like it's going to be our first. This may be the day that we live in a world and live with the Lord where there's no more sickness or sorrow, pain. Amen. And so I want you just to enjoy your time with the Lord. Enjoy being in the house of God today. Enjoy this Christmas season. Amen. I know things are different, and we've got so many of our church family going through difficult time. But let's don't forget that we are obligated because of His goodness to us and because of the command of the Scriptures that in everything to give thanks, and we're just going to rejoice in the Lord. Don't let the devil rob you of this wonderful time of the year when you have family and friends and just an exchange of gifts, but more thinking about our wonderful Lord who came. Make Christmas a very special time and remember it, not because of COVID, but remember it because of our wonderful Savior. Amen. I thank the Lord for that. Open your Bibles, please, this morning to the book of Isaiah, chapter number 9. Amen. Isaiah chapter number 9. And we're going to look at a passage of Scripture here that I will deal with for the rest of this month and perhaps on into the coming year. Now, we have done something here, and I'll just give you a heads up, some of the guys and you as well. The first Sunday of the new year on Sunday evening for quite a few years now, we've read through the book of Revelation. Our scheduling are different now because of the COVID and everything else. I don't know what January, the first Sunday in January will hold, but I'm praying you pray with me. The Bible said, blessed is he that readeth and he that heareth the prophecies of this book, meaning Revelation. We've never read it on Sunday morning, but I am considering and praying because of our exposure through the media and because of you, your blessing, and looking forward to a great year in 2021, that we would, instead of, we don't have a Sunday evening service, so on that Sunday morning, the first Sunday of the new year, we may read the book of Revelation here in the service. And if you've never been with us, don't panic. It doesn't take much over an hour to do it, and less than an hour, really. And we may do a little bit differently this year so far as our readers are concerned, but you pray about that. Now, in the book of Isaiah, I always get excited when I go through the study of the life of our Lord in the Old Testament. You will remember that he told the scribes and Pharisees that search the Scriptures. In them you think ye have eternal life, but they are they which testify of me. He wasn't talking about the New Testament. He's talking about the Old Testament. Christ was talking about himself revealed in the Old Testament. And so he is. In every book of the Old Testament and wonderful prophecies about his first coming, so many, many prophecies about his second coming, vivid descriptions of his sacrificial death on the cross and his coming kingdom, all through the Old Testament. But here in this passage of Scripture is a passage that I have been impressed to the Lord to share with you for the next few Sundays. And of course, the 20th, we'll have our musical program. But I'm looking forward, as God will have us, to be able to deal with all of this. I want to read just two verses this morning in Isaiah chapter number 9. If you have Isaiah chapter 9, say amen. Amen. All right. Now, in Isaiah chapter 9, look at verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with justice, judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. This particular prophet was given some 700 years before Christ was ever born. And yet, how wonderfully the Holy Spirit of God lays this out for us. I want to have a brief prayer, and then I want to share with you some things from this passage of Scripture. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, once again, I want to thank you for Miss Serena singing, and God for touching her and the wonderful message in the song. And Brother Danny, thank you for Jennifer playing this morning. Brother Brad leading the singing. And God, we've lifted our hearts in praise and worship. We've been blessed, our Father, by the specials. And now I pray, God, that through your word, you'd speak to us. Give us that bread of life that will cause us to be strong, that will sustain us in the journey, that will give us, Lord, even a greater appetite to look forward to the things you've got for us. And God, I want to thank you, Lord, for revealing yourself through the Scriptures. Lord, this passage of Scripture so wonderfully explains and shows so many things about our Lord. God, please help me now. God, I pray You'd speak to hearts. Lord, I bow before You and confess there's no good thing in me. But God, You're God and You're able. Lord, there are friends in this ministry, in this building and in the radio ministry and internet ministry that may not know You. And I pray, God, just as surely as You revealed Yourself in the Scripture, that You'd reveal Yourself in their heart today, that they might receive the greatest Christmas gift of all time, the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll thank You and praise You in Jesus' name. Amen. This wonderful Scripture has five identifications of our Lord in it. Look at it in verse number 6. And He said, His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. This one week, as I've been talking in a couple weeks past as well, where our good friend, Brother Roy Rigdon, we've talked about this passage of Scripture. And my first initial plan was just to start right off with the name, Wonderful. There are five names identified there. Isn't it unique? He has many, many names in the Bible. We know Him as Jesus, the Savior. And Savior Jesus means that He came to be Savior, Emmanuel, God with us. But in this particular passage, there are five. Five is the number of grace. God extended His grace to us. And why is it that He's called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace? Well, if we skip over the first part of this verse and go immediately to those names, we'll miss the basis of that great calling His name Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Here, I want us to look now at the first part of it. Because there are three key things that are mentioned in the first part of this verse that make the names relevant and real to us. These statements are given to us in verse number 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. Those three statements this morning, just briefly, I want to touch on with you about those three statements and how wonderfully they impact us and understand what is going on. This is the reason that He's called Wonderful. A child is born, a son is given, the government shall be upon his shoulders. First of all, look at that first phrase, for unto us a child is born. This speaks of the humanity of our Lord. He became a child. God eternal in eternity past became a child. He was born. He had a birth into this world. Jesus Christ did not begin at Bethlehem. And I'll deal with that further in just a moment. But He was human. Jesus Christ was human. Notice back in chapter number 7, I want you to notice there was something very peculiar about His birth. Notice what it says in chapter 7 of the book of Isaiah. And listen, if you will, please, at verse 14. Therefore, the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call His name Emmanuel. Now, some people would suggest that the word virgin simply means a young woman. And no doubt she was a young woman. But there's something peculiar about this birth. There's nothing unique or unusual about a young woman, a young girl becoming pregnant. But the uniqueness of His birth is this. He was born of a virgin. He had no earthly father. God was His father. And Jesus Christ was born into this world, and He has a unique aspect to His life. He was human and divine. He was a perfect man and perfect God. And through that birth process, God sent His only begotten Son, and He came as a little child, as a babe, in the manger. The Lord Jesus Christ bore in His body and in His personality everything that's human. He was 100% human. Now that's hard for us to comprehend, that great mystery of godliness, that in Him the fullness of the Godhead should dwell bodily. But Jesus Christ was a human. If He'd walk in this building, He'd be a human. And the truth of the matter is, none of us would recognize Him as being any different than us. You remember when He said to Peter, who do you say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And He said, blessed art thou, son of Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed that to thee. Not only that flesh and blood had not told Him He was the Christ, but His person, His looking on His features, didn't say He was God. said he was human. He was the man, Christ Jesus. He was the Son of Man. Jesus Christ was a man. He was a perfect man, but he was a sinless man, but he was man. Here in the book of Galatians, I want to just read this to you. If you want to make a note of it, you could look at it a little bit later. But he said in the book of Galatians, this wonderful statement that I want to share with you now. He says in Galatians in chapter number 4, and I want you to look at verse number 4, if you will, make a little note, or if you don't look at it now. But it says, but in the fullness of time, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law. Now, there's the two aspects again. He was the Son that was given, but He sent Him to be born of a woman. He came into this world via a virgin's womb. He had a human body. He had what we call the sinless problems of the flesh. That is that He became hungry. He became thirsty. As a human, He became tired. As a human, He could weep. As a human, He could experience suffering and pain. As a human, He would bleed. He was a human. He had human parents. He had a human body. He looked like a man. He had flesh and blood. He said to Simon Jonah, flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you, but He had that. He grew from a little bitty baby. And that, all this is hard for me to comprehend, hard for you to comprehend, that this is God incarnate in human flesh. Jesus, as a man, asked questions. As a man, He answered questions. Jesus prayed as a man. He was tempted as a man. He was hungry as a man. He was just like you and I. And He thirsted. He grew weary. He slept. He wept. He suffered. He bled. He died. He was buried as a man. But thank God He was more than a man. He was God incarnate in human flesh. The Lord Jesus Christ, why was He born as a man? Why was it imperative God would send the Lord Jesus Christ? Why Christmas? Why was this child born? He was born as a human to identify with us. He took His place with us. He was just like we were. In fact, the Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. When you go to the book of Hebrews, you'll find that He came to be a human because He could identify with us as a human being. He was our great high priest. The high priest represented man to God and God to man. And Jesus is that great mediator between God and man. He was a man. Did you know that every temptation you've ever had, Jesus had? He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He knows what it is to be tempted, but he was God incarnate in human flesh, and He did not sin. He could not sin. Jesus Christ was a human being, and He knows the pain of sorrow. He wept at the tomb of Lazarus. He knows how it is. The Bible says because He became flesh, He was able to succor those who are in the flesh. That means to minister to them. I can't always identify with you and what you go through. Regina and I have had a child to die. I have a certain amount of empathy and can identify with those who have children who've died. But I have a wonderful wife who's still living. And yet some of you, your wife has gone on to be with the Lord. Your husband may have gone on to be with the Lord. And I can't really identify with that. But the Lord Jesus Christ, as a human being, knew all the emotions that you experience. He experienced all the temptation that you experience, and He can represent you properly before God the Father. The Bible says if we sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. You have a friend that sticketh closer than the brother. His name is Jesus. He clothed Himself in human flesh that He might come to us. He came to be a human. He came to be our kinsman. He came to be our high priest. But He had to be a man because the Bible says that God is eternal, that He's neither weary nor tired, and He doesn't ever die. God never dies. But in order for us to be saved, the wages of sin is death. You know why Jesus came born in a manger? You know why He took on a human body? so he could die. He said, I've come to give my life a ransom. He was a great teacher. He was a great preacher. He healed, did all those things. But the overlying reason for his coming was so he could die. He took on a human body that he might experience sacrificial death for us. He's a man. Therefore, it says a child was born. But then it makes this statement in Isaiah. It says a son is given. And that lets us know that he was the eternal Son of God. He's always been God the Son. There's always been God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Notice over in the book of John, if you have your Bibles there handy, turn to the Gospel of John. And let's look at the first chapter of the Gospel of John and see what John says about this, about the Lord Jesus Christ and how he's identified in this wonderful book of John. Chapter 1, John chapter 1, and listen to what he says. In the beginning was the Word, capital W, Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And the same was in the beginning with God, and all things were made by Him. Now, notice the personage of the Word. It is a person. The Word is a person. Who is that person that was with God? Who is that person that is God? It's Jesus Christ. And all things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness. The darkness comprehended it not. Now, look on a little bit further in verse 14. Listen here. Here's what we're talking about. A son was given, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. He's already established a couple of things. Number one, that the Word was with God. The Word was God, and the Word was before all of creation, and everything that was made, Jesus made, but then He was made flesh. You see the sequence? He was God, He was with God, and before anything was made, He made everything that was made, and then He was clothed in flesh. He created, spoke this world into existence, formed man out of the dust of the earth, breathed in His nostrils breath of life, and He came in a human body. But He was God. He was eternal Son of God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believed in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Our wonderful Lord had a body. He says in the book of Colossians, a body thou hast prepared for me. He's there already, but God prepared Him a body. That was the child. God incarnate in human flesh. You say, Brother Billy, that's so hard for me to comprehend. I understand that. It's hard for us in our intellect to understand it, but by faith we believe it, that He was born of a virgin, that He was a man, but He was God, man. In Him dwelt all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, the Bible says. Jesus Christ was a man, but He was God. You say, why was He God? If He came to be a man and so He could identify with us, so He could suffer, bleed, and die for us, why was He God? Because the Bible says that He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. That He was completely sinless in thought and in deed for all of His life, forever. He's always been that way. He was sinless before the world began. He was sinless through creation, sinless through all the Old Testament, sinless when all the demons of hell and Satan himself came against Him and tempted me in the wilderness. He did not sin. He was sinless. He was sinless God. He came to be a man so He could die, but He was God so that His death would be efficient for our salvation. You see, the Bible said the wages of sin is death. He had to die. But yet He was sinless. You say, Brother Billy, why then did He die? If people die because of sin, why did Jesus die on the cross? It's simple. The Bible says, scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us. How did He show that love to us? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus Christ, the sinless Son of God, God incarnate human flesh, could die as a human, but he died a sinless death. Why did he die then? The Bible says, scarcely for the righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man somebody even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. You see, what Christ did was, in according to 1 Peter, he bore all of our sins in his own body on that tree. He died for your sin and for my sin. He paid our sin debt. He didn't have a sin. He never sinned in thought or deed. But he, as God-man, took all the sin of all the ages on himself. And on the cross, he paid that ultimate price for our sin. All the judgment of God, all the penalty of sin, he bore on that cross. And the Bible said he died for our sin. And thus, according to the Word of God, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. What a wonderful Christmas story. What a gift that he gave his Son that we might have everlasting life, that we might be saved. Jesus prayed in John 17, and he said this, Father, I pray that they might be where I am, that they might behold my glory. But in verse number 17, verse 5, he says, Father, I pray that you might be glorified with the glory that thou hast given me before the world was. Before the world ever existed, he had the glory of God because he was God. And Jesus Christ died. Get this picture in your mind. The one who fashioned and made this whole world, created everything, humbled himself, was made like unto sinful flesh, lived a sinless life, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's the message of the gospel, that Jesus Christ bore our sin, died, but thank God, as a God, he stepped out of that grave. He's alive forevermore. The Lord Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords. But there's one further statement I want to hurriedly mention to you in this passage of Scripture. It says, and the government shall be upon his shoulder. I thought so much about the shoulder of our Lord. The first thought I thought about was a parable he gave. He talks about lost things, lost sheep, lost corn, lost son. And he talks about the shepherd who has 99 sheep, one of them's lost. And he goes and he searches till he finds that one lost sheep. And you know what he does when he finds him? The Bible said he places him on his shoulders. It's a place of strength. For the lamb, he feels the strength of the shepherd because he's so weak he can't walk. But the shepherd has strength to carry him through every difficulty, through every valley, across every stream, up every mountain. The shepherd can carry him through those difficult times. It's a place of safety. Nothing's going to bother him now. He's safely on the shoulders of the Savior, and he has victory over every enemy that he has. But he's carrying him somewhere, places on his shoulder. He protects him, carries him through every difficulty of life, protects him from every enemy. But his purpose in picking him up and toting him is that he might take him somewhere. And that is to take him home, back to the place where the shepherd came from. The Son of God was born as a child. He was God's Son given that we might have everlasting life. But the government is upon his shoulders. Can I tell you, my friend, we're looking at the fulfillment in this passage of Scripture of what the Lord taught us to pray. He said, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. And he goes on and says, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That day's coming. Jesus Christ, the government shall rest upon his shoulder. Right now, the Bible describes Satan as the god of this world. Now, you do understand and I understand that God's sovereign. He's over the whole thing. But right now, Satan is the god of this world. He's ruling the kingdom of this world. In this kingdom, tears exist. In this kingdom, sickness exists. In this time of the rule of Satan on this earth, suffering is everywhere. Destruction is everywhere. Death is everywhere. But there's coming a change one of these days. In Revelation chapter 11, verse 15, It says, and the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdom of the Lord. My dear friend, and so shall it ever be with the Lord. What kind of kingdom is he going to have? Well, if you look back in the book of Isaiah, he tells us so many wonderful things in Isaiah chapter 11 about that. But hurriedly, I'd like to read part of it for you. If you'll turn to it and look in the book of Isaiah chapter number 11. And notice what he says in this wonderful passage of scripture about this kingly reign of our Lord. And he said this, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of the roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, and the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might and spirit of knowledge and all the fear of the Lord. And he shall make him a quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ear. But with righteousness shall he judge the people and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. He shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. The righteous shall be the girdle of his loin, and faithfulness his girdle. The wolf also shall dwell with the lamb, and the leopard shall lie down with the kid, and the calf and the young lion and the fatting together, and a little child shall lead them. The cow and the bear shall feed their young, and shall lie down together, and the lion shall eat straw like an ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of an asp, and the weaned child shall put hand in the cockatrice den. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The government's going to rest on his shoulder. We're praying about the outcome of the election. I'm still praying about the outcome of the election. And I sure would like to see some things happen. But I have no idea what's going to happen there. But I can tell you, just as sure as I'm standing here, the government is going to rest on his shoulder. When it's all said and done, he'll rule and reign. A wonderful truth is this. In the book of Revelation, the Bible said in Revelation chapter 5, verse 10, that you and I who are saved by the grace of God shall rule and reign with him 1,000 years on this earth. He's going to rule on this earth. But that's just the beginning. That's what we call the millennial reign, 1,000-year reign on Christ on there. The natures of the animals are going to be changed, I read to you. He's going to reverse all the curse that was on the earth. Then there will be a new heaven and a new earth, renovated, perfect. The Garden of Eden, I love the beautiful mountains, the beautiful sea. And it's hard for me to imagine this under a curse, but can you imagine what it's going to be like when there's no curse, when there's no thorn, no thistle, and where there's no wickedness and no sin? That's what it's going to be when he rules and reigns. And that's what's coming. He became a human being so he could die. He was God, so his death could mean something. He died sinless death. He bore our sin. But he's going to rule and reign on this earth, and then for eternity, he's going to rule. Therefore, I say this, he's wonderful. He's counselor. He's mighty God. He's everlasting Father. He is the Prince of Peace. One day, no more war. One day, no more sadness. One day, no more sickness. All the domain of Satan will be gone. Revelation says he'll wipe away all of our tears, and there'll be no more sickness, no sorrow, no pain when he rules and reigns. That day's coming. Can I tell you what might excite you a little bit this morning? It said this, 700 and something years before Christ was ever born, he gave this prophecy so clearly that a child shall be born, a son shall be given. And back over the chapter previous to that, he said he's going to be born of a virgin. All of those things are true. They all came to pass. What I've just told you about the kingdom is going to come too. And it's going to be a wonderful thing. Did you know the Bible says that with the Lord, that 1,000 years is one day. So almost not quite 3/4 of a day after Isaiah made this statement, Jesus was born. 1,000 years. It was 700 years before Christ was born that he gave this. And since he was born, it's been almost 2 days if you equate 1,000 years with a day. But one of these days, and it could be tomorrow, Jesus Christ is coming again. You say, Brother Bill, how can that be? 4,000 years up to the birth of Christ and 2,000 years since then, that's only 6,000. But you and I know this, we're going to reign with him 1,000 years on the earth. we don't have very long window. There's not a very big window right here between the 6,000 and the 7,000. Jesus could come before this month is over and we get to see him face to face. Oh, Brother Danny, thank you for that song. We're going to see him and thank God for it. Amen. You'll know him and you'll know even as you're known. The Bible said you must know him now as Savior and Lord. You need to know for sure that you're saved. You say, Brother Billy, how do I do that? I don't understand all of that. The Bible said that we're saved by grace through faith, that not of ourselves, it's a gift of God. Salvation's a step of faith. You can't understand it all. I don't understand it all. I've been preaching it for 53 years now, but I don't understand it all. Hard for me to grasp it all. But I can rejoice in all of it because I know him as my Savior. I can tell you just as sure as I'm standing here that if you'll come to a place where you recognize that you're a sinner and you need a Savior, if you'll call on him, he'll answer you. If you call on him, you can be saved. In that same book of John where I read to you that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, it says this, he came unto his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. He's God's gift to this world. A child is born, a son is given. The Lord so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoso believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You can have everlasting life. It's God's purpose for you to be saved. He's made provision for you to be saved. And it is his promise that you can be saved if you'll receive him. Would you bow your heads in prayer this morning? With every head bowed, every eye closed, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulders. Therefore I call him Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Do you know him? Do you know him in a real way? The Bible said, to those who received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God. You see, the wage of sin is death, and he paid that wage on the cross. He died for your sin. He paid for all of your sin debt. And the rest of that verse in Romans chapter 6 says this, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. That gift is available to you and it must be received according to 1 John. How do you receive it? Believe in your heart. The Bible said, confess with the mouth of the Lord Jesus that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Study the New Testament. You'll notice that time and time again, those who came and called on him were never disappointed. Bartimaeus cried to him and he received his sight. Mary and Martha sent to him. Their brother Lazarus was resurrected. The parable of that poor, wretched sinner bowing in the temple, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. The Lord said he went home justified. Not one of you in this building nor in the radio audience would now honestly come before the Lord Jesus Christ and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. I know the wages of sin is death and I ought to be in hell. God, I can't save myself. But I want to thank you for giving your son. I'm glad that he was born of a virgin. I'm glad that he suffered and bled and died for me. And I'm glad that your promise is to me that if I would turn to him now and receive him now, you would save me. Lord, come in my heart, forgive my sin, save me right now. I believe Jesus died for me, was buried and rose again. I accept him now as my personal Savior. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for loving me and dying for me and for saving me right now. If you're here in the building and you believe that, you've prayed that prayer or in the media audience, we sure would like to know that. I want to give you an opportunity. Let's stand together. If you're here in the building and you don't know Christ as your Savior and Lord, you can know him right now. What a wonderful thing to know that he's God incarnate human flesh. Identified with us. Nothing about us made him do that other than he loved us. He set his love on us. And he loves you now. Even as a sinner, he loves you.